Okay, good afternoon. My name is Christine Araneta, and today I'm going to be speaking about the results of our nutritional survey among Filipino Americans in Union City. And I'd like to thank the Food and Nutrition section of the APHA for taking a note of our study. Although our cohort was small, I think we've contributed something to the conversation about the health of Filipino Americans. And Filipino Americans are a sizable, a growing segment of the population, but their health status is largely understudied. So, and I have no financial disclosures to report. So just to recap, our objectives in the abstract that we submitted, we wanted to describe lifestyle behaviors and identify determinants that lead to obesity and associated disease in a community-based sample of Filipino Americans. Why? Because the greater prevalence of diabetes, hypertension, heart disease among Filipino Americans is associated with a higher body mass index. So what do we know from the literature? Filipinos have the highest body mass index compared to other Asians except for non-Hawaiian Pacific Islanders. One half are overweight to obese. U.S.-born Filipinos develop unhealthy eating habits as they assimilate into American culture. And their parents or the first generation soon catch up, indicating that length of stay in the U.S. positively correlates with weight gain. And increasingly, obesity predates migration. 25% of Filipinos in the Philippines over age 24 are overweight to obese, and this is from the most recent Food Nutrition Research Institute study. Okay, so in 2008 and 2010, the Filipino Advocates and Organizing for Health was launched. And why was it launched, and why Union City? What led us to a closer examination of the health status of Filipinos was the report of TB clusters in Union City, California. There are heavily Filipino neighborhoods along the 880 corridor, or the Nimitz Freeway, which bisects or runs along the whole length of the county, and on either side of the freeway where there were reports of TB clusters. So we wanted to understand, well, why was this so? What were the overall determinants of health? Demographically, Union City is overwhelmingly immigrant, and 20% of the population are Filipinos. And it typifies many Filipino communities throughout the West Coast of California in terms of income, household size, employment, education. And we felt that from this study, we could have information and analysis that could be generalizable to Filipinos elsewhere. So what were our methods? Sounds noisy. Okay. We had a cross-sectional survey to evaluate health access and behaviors, and this was administered to 328 Filipinos age 18 and over. It was a convenient sample, age and sex matched to the 2000 census. It was 110 questions covering such topics as insurance status, language, cultural barriers to care, habits, top medical problems by diagnosis, mental health and economic stressors, and the questionnaire was available in Tagalog and English. And of course, we had a $20 gift card for participants, and we used SAS version 9.1 for statistical analysis. Okay. So we had a dedicated nutrition and exercise section. It was a 9-question section, and our objectives were to determine BMI from self-reported measurements, to determine how often participants ate out at fast food places in the previous week, to characterize dietary preferences and frequencies, to evaluate nutritional awareness in food choices and cooking preferences, to describe exercise habits and physical activity, and finally, to analyze all these behaviors in relation to BMI and education. So, we asked respondents to report their height and weight, and admittedly, self-reported data has many limitations. A lot of studies have shown that With regard to anthropometrics, up to 8% underreport their weight and overreport their heights. So 3/4 of our respondents fell between 5 feet to 6 feet in height. Okay, in terms of weight, over half were between 121 to 180 pounds. And this is a breakdown of the body mass index. So what we found is our data was comparable to that of the California Health Interview Survey of 2009. So to the right is the data from the CHIS, or California Health Interview Survey, and to the left is our data. So 50% are normal weight, and the balance are overweight to obese. And if we see here the CHIS data, it's comparable. 49.7 are normal weight, and about 48% are overweight to obese. And if you compare that to Asians, where 62% are normal weight and 31% are overweight to obese, you could see why Filipinos fall behind, are just ranked second to non-Hawaiian Pacific Islanders in terms of the highest BMI among all Asian groups. Okay. So let's analyze this in relation to college completion. When classified by college completion, 3/5 of those with a BMI of 30 and over did not go to college or complete college. Okay, so the first question with regard to habits is, we asked if our respondents read nutrition labels on processed foods. So slightly over half always to often did, another 30% sometimes did, and the remaining 15% rarely to never did. As a follow-up, we asked if nutrition labels influence buying decisions. Nearly 3/4 were influenced, while 1/3 were not. Okay. If we were to characterize the label readers by BMI categories, obese respondents, or 36%, were significantly less likely to read food labels compared to normal weight or overweight participants. Okay, this next slide, we ask, how many times have you eaten at a fast food place in the past week? And the important figure here is the second row, the highlighted row, which shows that 60% of respondents ate at fast food places between 1 to 3 times in the previous week. And if we ask, well, how many ate at fast food places, the total comes out to 73%. So how does this compare to the California Health Information Survey? Our data is to the far right column. See, 73% ate at fast food places in the previous week. Filipinos in the CHIS study, 67.3% ate out, and they lead the pack in terms of the other Asian groups and all Californians. If we were to characterize BMI and fast food consumption, which this slide shows, you know, there's those with BMI ate fast food more frequently, of course, but eating fast food is a lifestyle of all age groups and all weight classes. Next, we ask, in this slide, we ask the question, how frequently do you eat these cuts of meats? And we included these cuts of meats because these are popular types of meats in the Filipino diet. So the darker the color, the more frequent the consumption, and the lighter the color, the less eaten. Okay, so, and then we rank that according to most popular to the least popular. The good news is the message has somehow gone out to avoid organ meats, pork blood, pork rinds, roast pork, roast pig, because gout is another big problem in the community, and so I think most people already recognize the connection to that. The bad news is respondents still regard canned meats favorably, which 22% of respondents always to often, and another 43% ate sometimes. So what are these canned meats? These include Spam, corned beef, Vienna sausage, liver spread, or potted meat. And these foods became very popular in the Philippines after World War II because of U.S. Rations, military rations. And so here we see the discordance where, despite so-called high levels of label reading, 71% read and were influenced by reading labels, canned meat remains a popular and convenient food. And my fellow researchers were like, canned meat, why not barbecue? And initially we couldn't believe this. And so this is an ad from a community, it's like a throwaway, and it's the Seafood City supermarket, and they're advertising all these canned meats, Spam, corned beef, Vienna sausage, that if you buy this, you get a discount, and if you send it to your relatives in the Philippines, you also get a discount with an affiliated cargo shipper. So it's so it's also very well liked in the Philippines. Okay. So frequency of canned meat consumption by BMI, it didn't statistically differ, you know, significantly among all weight classes. So next is the exciting part. We ask, what do you like to eat? Respondents were asked to name three of the dishes they frequently prepared at home or ordered at restaurants. There were over 800 entries. Next, we classified the dishes according to the main ingredient. A grilled pork chop, for example, is a protein. A stew may be equally parts protein and vegetables, depending on the cook, of course. A noodle dish was mainly counted as a carb. And then we totaled up all the values and came up with this nutritional analysis. Okay. 40% of the main dishes were meat-based, with beef leading the choices. 20% were seafood, 17% carbohydrates, 14% vegetables, and the balance was between dairy, eggs, beans, and other type of simple carbs. And this is the same data, this is the same information presented a little differently. To the right here is a lunch special from a restaurant in Union City that's very well rated by Yelpers, you know, in the area because of the portion sizes. And I think it represents our data well, that a greater percentage of the Filipino plate and the Filipino palate is meat-based. Okay? And, you know, and I don't, which isn't to say that people eat less rice in proportion to meat. Rice was understood to be a staple in every meal, and one of our limitations is we didn't quantify the amount of rice people ate. So finally, we asked, how do you prepare your food? And most home cooks stick to just traditionally favored sautéing or stir-frying with some oil. However, deep-fat frying is just as favored as steaming, grilling, or baking, or less oilier methods. So it's still considered, you know, just the way you make your food. Okay. If we were to analyze deep-fat frying by BMI category, there wasn't a significant difference among all weight classes. Finally, we ask exercise. Remarkably, 94% claim to exercise on a weekly basis, with up to 51% exercising more than three times a week. But more typically, two-fifths exercised infrequently, and when they did, it was more low-impact type of activities. And a very common answer was, well, I walk. I walk three times a week, sometimes daily, but their concept of walking was just going to the shopping mall and walking at window shopping pace. You know, that was considered valid exercise. Okay. And I think that those who exercise quite vigorously, the 22% who exercise quite vigorously, were likely to be 18 to 29 years of age. And I think this is the confounder for why the obesity rate wasn't high. Our younger participants, they had awful eating habits, but they were very much into intense workouts, right? And that was part of their social activities. Okay, so if we were to classify by exercise by BMI category, obviously those who are over BMI of 30 exercise the least, just kind of self-evident. So what are the long-term effects of unhealthy eating habits and high BMI? 30% of our cohort reported chronic health problems, and this table breaks down the top three diagnoses reported by participants. We also have comparative data from the 2009 CHIS survey, and it's pretty astounding. FOH data is similar to statewide data, which some estimates place Filipino-Americans second to African-Americans in the prevalence of hypertension in the state. And diabetes incidence among Filipinos also is higher than the national and state prevalence. So I think the national prevalence from the speech this morning was 7%, and in our study it was 11%, and in the CHIS study for California it was 13%. So this slide brings home the message about a meat-dominant dietary pattern. Obese and overweight Filipinos were more likely to have high cholesterol than normal-weight Filipinos. But we also found that 21% of our respondents aged 25 to 29 already reported high cholesterol. So our conclusions, obese Filipinos were significantly less likely to read nutritional labels, exercise three or more times a week, and complete college compared to normal or overweight participants. Hypercholesterolemia was significantly higher among overweight and obese compared to normal weight Filipinos. Frequency of fast food consumption, canned meat intake, and frying did not differ much by BMI category. And multivariate analysis showed infrequent exercise and lower education were independently associated with obesity after adjusting for age, years in the U.S., cooking methods, and reading nutritional labels. So, discussion. Just food for thought. We really haven't sorted out fully the implications of what, where to bring this research. So Filipinos in the U.S. now number 2.5 million. They're the second largest Asian American group according to the 2010 U.S. Census. There are few studies on their health issues based on a literature review. The studies that do exist confirm our findings that cardiovascular and metabolic diseases rank highest among their health concerns. Therefore, interventions needed to promote a heart-healthy diet and fitness to reduce the burden of heart disease and diabetes in the community. And just as a final thought, one in three Filipinos are at risk of dying from heart disease, you know, as a result of these chronic health conditions. Thank you very much. I don't know.